I think Sean can appreciate that. He's a veteran of talk, so that nice mid-90s heavy metal intro stuff.
Yeah, good stuff.
Yeah, man. None of that hip-hoppery on this show.
Well, nothing that was made after 1995.
Exactly.
I like some old hip-hop now, but...
We do a little Wu-Tang Forever.
Yeah.
Once in a while. I'm just saying intro-wise. We sound like we're coming back for a Stern segment.
It's
like, you know, the hip intern has Fear Factory playing. It's like, oh, Stern knows D-Manufacture? How bizarre. No idea. All right. This is Papa's Basement. I'm John Papa Giorgio, joined today by Howard Flood, my usual co-host.
For now.
For now. Way to let him down.
I just got to give him advance warning, man.
Don't worry. New year
brings like another pain in the ass job for me, so.
And breaking in a new man for co-host duties. We also have a friend of mine, Sean. You're like my, I think, actual first friend, period. I knew you like
first grade. You and like Rob McCann.
I remember Rob, and all
them boys kind of up on that side of the neighborhood, man. You guys are David Fry and that whole crowd. I mean, you guys were some of the first, you know, memories I have of like hanging out with the neighborhood kids, man.
And experimentation.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Sean Turner is joining us. Again, he was just in town. I grew up with a dude when we were like 5 or 6. It's funny you mentioned Rob McCann. My one memory of Rob is like one time our families got together and we went into the basement of the McCann house and his dog, Shauna, as I recall her name, barfed like a white log. And I was like, that is the most amazing thing I've ever seen. I remember nothing about the Wizard of Oz, but like I could go to a sketch artist and tell you exactly what this dog's vomit looked like.
There's something wrong with you.
That's stuck with me.
That's funny.
The show's site is inpapasbasement.com. If you do Stitcher or iTunes for your podcast subscriptions, we're available on both PAPA*S basement. We also do Papa's Football Podcast. Again, if you do football, hope I didn't have to explain that to you. But if you like that and you like the pods, there you go. So we have, this is the final show before Christmas, and then we have, like, I guess one show before New Year's. I don't know how much we have to cover for Christmas stuff.
Well, I mean, there's one important Christmas story.
What is that? I don't remember at all.
It's the movie that was supposed to be shown beginning Christmas Day that's no longer with us.
That is true. I was going to segue into that in another way, and you did it in a much better manner. That was going to be a big chunk of the show. I felt it was definitely worth talking about what happened with the interview. The Seth Rogen, James Franco, I guess we'll call it a vehicle to sound like we're in the biz. Their vehicle. So...
Euphemism for they make the same damn movie every time.
Not just that. It's just two buddies who sit around and smoke dope.
Yeah.
I'm going to sound like Mr. Hand from Ridgemont High.
It really is.
People on dope. Yeah, it's... Look, what is the last like good movie they made? I'm kind of critical of the two. I'm not a huge fan of either.
I don't know.
What is their career together? Like, they did... What was the other stoner flick they made?
Pineapple Express.
Pineapple Express, okay.
But they've done a bunch of other ones, too, because, like, I think not Rogan, but the other guy that did all the other movies with him, didn't he produce this Neighbors that Rogan is in?
Was Franco the producer of Neighbors?
He was involved in it, or he helped write it or something like that.
I hated Neighbors. That was such
I don't
a terrible
know, but
movie.
I know pretty... But dude, you're right. You hit the nail on the head. They pretty much... sit around all day and smoke dope, kind of like Matt Damon and the other one,
Affleck
did, and except for they write movies about dope instead of about living in Boston. I don't really know. You know what I mean? Like that, it's just,
it's frustrating. I feel that a lot of people who are into that are just subsidizing two lazy asses.
Yeah.
Like I really feel...
So you're jealous is what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah, I am jealous because I feel like, you know what, I feel like if I had, because for some reason those guys have been able to just basically sit around and smoke dope and write movies without having to, clearly they have some sort of other, they're independently wealthy in some other way, whether it be for their parents or whatever.
They've duped the public in some ways. It's like a band that tries to write off marijuana for tax purposes at the end of the year.
Yeah.
And they figured out how to do that. Like they're handing a $200,000 pot bill to America. And we were just like, all the math checks out, gentlemen. Yeah. We sign it. And they're just like, you know, just laughing their asses off at us. And you know what? I'm not here.
We're paying for their medicine.
We are. We're subsidizing their lifestyle. It's like, I don't watch a Martin Scorsese film, even when he was just tooting line after line in the late 70s and early 80s. You're like, oh, this is a horrible drug addict who happens to make art. Right. I never felt like first of all, I wasn't alive. But second of all, if I were alive, I wouldn't feel like I'm subsidizing a cokehead by going out and watching Raging Bull. Or Taxi Driver. But you watch Neighbors, you're like, I just paid for a dub sack.
Yeah.
That's what I did.
Like, I just paid for his breakfast.
Yeah. It doesn't feel good. But the big story, because this happened, last Tuesday? I mean, it must have happened, right after we were recording.
I think it was literally after the last time you and I recorded, yeah.
Okay, later in that day, the big news was the movie The Interview, which is about these two guys assassinating... getting hired to assassinate Kim Jong-un, the leader of North Korea. Now, again, I'm not a censorship guy. Just when I heard the initial premise, I was like, do we make movies about, killing actual leaders? Like, I thought we would make up a country for that kind of...
Yeah, like a fake country. And I really feel like we would be, as much as I hate the fact that they're, not going to show the movie because, for whatever reasons, I think we would be pretty mad if, Germany made a movie about assassinating our president. I think we'd be like, come on.
I mean, even
dude, really,
Fox News making a movie about killing Barack Obama, which, I'm sure at times it seems like there are a couple Fox News personalities who seem like they would want to make that movie.
Yeah.
I don't think they'd do it because the retaliation would be a rom-com about what's-his-name attempting to kill Reagan. It's just like, I'm just doing this to impress Jodie Foster.
Oh, John Hinckley Jr.
You know what I mean? It's just that's... what I just described is massively offensive, although I think some people would laugh at it. It's still the kind of thing you couldn't get through Hollywood, so why is this getting approved to kill the North Korean leader?
Yeah, that's what weird... I mean, it's like... what the heck? Back in Predator, when they did Predator, they weren't even in a real country. Weren't they in Veracruz or something? Wasn't that a code for every South American asshole that we invaded? That was a commie satellite back in the day.
It had a rainforest, yep.
Yeah, exactly. And we just, it's not really done. I mean, hell, the remake of Red Dawn, we couldn't even be it's the dirty Arabs that are invading. We were like, it's some weird country, some pan-Asian front that's coming for us. And yet we make Neighbors, and it's like, nope, it's Kim Jong-un, the guy who's right there. We're killing him. And we're making him look like a horse dick before we kill him. Like, it's probably going to be a lot of scenes with him looking like a damn idiot.
Yeah.
And then it'll end with him dying.
Yeah.
I think one of the reasons they picked that country, though, I haven't heard this expressly from Seth Rogen, but it is commonplace in North Korean politics to assassinate people in order to remove them from the competition for power.
I feel you give them so much more credit than they deserve.
No, but it's just, I think...
Well, isn't that the thing with Kim Jong-un's uncle? Wasn't the rumor he was fed to the dogs?
Yeah, but I think that's probably the stoned idea that they had. Seth Rogen and James Franco heard a story of, an assassination in North Korea. They're like, hey, why don't we assassinate him?
Yeah.
And a movie was born.
And they won't be they won't be too pissed at that, right, dude? No, it'll be fine.
Reason 56 why I hate those men. baked, I thought this up, and now it's a movie.
Can I have a list of 1 through 55? I'd like to see that.
Around 48 is the fact that every chick I've ever dated would just eat James Franco's ass rather than kiss me on the mouth. There's that. I'm a little testy about that factuality. So, the movie, again, about killing a real-life world leader, admittedly from a laughingstock nation. They're not even the Korea that's, good at StarCraft and Warcraft and all the other video game crafts.
And making Samsung products, yeah.
Yeah, they're the cruddy Korea. They're the East Germany Korea.
The 19th century version of
Korea. Are they communists? Is that what they are? Or what are they?
Yeah.
I mean, kind of a name only. It's more like this cult of a living god around their leader.
Yeah, I don't really understand.
Most of the citizens share in the poverty of the country with an elite ruling class that runs the military. That's kind of the setup. Okay. And there's no free speech. So one of the issues that came up with the making of this movie is that, and this is one of the reasons why they're claiming that you should not expect the DVD to come out anytime soon. South Korean activists were planning on taking copies of the DVD, putting them in balloons or attaching them two balloons and then having them float over and by the thousands into North Korea. So the idea was we want to share with the people of North Korea this odd comedy by Seth Rogen and James Franco. And we're just going to send it to North Korea. And like, they're not going to understand any of the English. They're just going to see the part at the very end where his head explodes. So that's one of the reasons why there's no current plans to release this movie. I mean, to me, like, I watched The Daily Show. Both Chris Rock and Jon Stewart, like, no question in their minds as filmmakers, they're like, this is going to come out. Like, eventually there's going to be a time and place for this to be released. It's just not Christmas Day this year because I think it would interfere with, you know, overall ticket sales on Christmas Day.
Wow.
That reminds me of what we did during Desert Storm, where we just dumped a bunch of Playboys on a rock. We're like, vaginas are awesome. Kill Saddam Hussein. I repeat.
Look. This is what he keeps you from. Yeah. Do you understand what you're missing here?
Look at these nipples. They rock. Yeah, so the interview went through. I remember seeing a bunch of ads for it during all the various football games I watched and waste my life with. And then a couple weeks ago, there took place the Sony hacks, which I have been covered ad nauseum on a bunch of other shows, I guess. Lately, I haven't done a lot of talk radio, so this is all fresh to me.
Right.
But Sony got hacked by a group that really everyone readily assumed was North Korean in origin. And a lot of work emails were published where guys were talking about what assholes Angelina Jolie and who else were just...
Leo DiCaprio.
Just
Kevin Hart, yeah.
Everything you imagine. Yeah, Kevin Hart must be the biggest piece of crap at all. He's like 5'2" with a huge dong. Can you imagine? And I know that for a fact because I listen to Opie and Anthony and Jim Norton, their resident comedian,
yep,
worked with Kevin Hart all the time and they'd run train on girls and stuff like that. And he said,
that's hilarious.
Yeah, he's like, the only thing...
Norton is hilarious.
The only thing I can content myself with is that his huge piece is wasted on a midget body.
Wow.
But yeah, can you imagine that? And you're getting successful. I think he already had to go through a divorce, and so he's paying through the nose for that. I can see him as angry. And really, Angelina Jolie and Leo DiCaprio, do you think these are accommodating people? Do you think they are... where they are because they have some unique talent? No, and they know that. So they are assholes about protecting their place as King of the Hill and Queen of the Hill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So really all that came out, all this hack info, and Sony was like, wow, egg on our face. We are still going to release, however, this interview film on Christmas Day. We know that the North Koreans did this to us. We don't really care. So now, correct me if I'm wrong on any of this so far. And then... after that happened and the North Koreans were like, oh no, so we released this information regarding their earth deity people, the people that they respect more than their government leaders and really anyone else, their actors and actresses. So now we're just going to vaguely threaten 9/11, not so vaguely threaten 9/11 like terrorism at their movie theaters.
I'm so sorry, but reading the threats themselves, it to me was like, these were obviously Chinese hackers. Like, do you read the slightly broken English in the threat?
I know that Sony was referred to as the Sony. So,
it was hard not to laugh at not just the vagueness, but yeah, like the English quality of it. It was terrible. Because when they said, we believe the North Korean government hired Chinese hackers, I was like, this is the proof right here. It's definitely straight out of that South Park episode.
Oh, which one?
It was like season 2.
You're just making me think of Big American Penis, the Japanese guys, though.
They played dodgeball against the Chinese national team, something like that, the kids from South Park. I think it was dodgeball.
Yeah, dodgeball, and the kids were really, really good at it.
The Chinese commentator and play-by-play guys did American accents, and it just reminded me of that scene in South Park. When I read the terrorist threat that was being launched by these Chinese hackers.
I don't recall the specifics, but...
You have big American penis. Yeah. Oh, it's so big. Mine's so small.
So small. And I recall, after that, Sony's first move is just to say, hey, look, we're not going to pull it, but if the movie theaters want to pull it, if they want to be the pussies here,
right,
more power to them. So then the theaters became livid with Sony because they were like, don't put this on us.
Yeah.
And a day later, maybe even a half day later, Sony was like, you know what? We're going to pull it.
Well, the theaters actually did step up and say, you know what? We're not going to show this because, I mean, here's the fact. I'm actually doing a Jewish Christmas this year. I'm going with my girlfriend to the movies this year. So,
And eating Chinese after?
We might eat Chinese. We'll see. We'll see how that goes.
Not a Jewish Christmas if you don't.
All right, fine.
Yeah, you got it. You kind of got to eat Chinese.
Don't Chinese food. Yeah. But anyway, so like, if you have this captive audience that goes to the movies every Christmas Day and you have like people who are going to go regardless of what they see, you got to get rid of the interview. Because if there's a threat of safety, it's just like they're just going to watch something else. They don't really care that the interview's not there.
If there's a population you don't want blown up, it's the Jews. A lot of lawyers in those ranks. Slightly litigious.
We don't need to blow up the upper class. That's not...
Exactly.
We don't need that. They give us problems sometimes, but we don't need to blow them up.
Honestly, like,
that's not the solution.
What's strange is, like, I think Jews are the least fearful in a sense of that kind of threat. Because, I mean, if you have relatives in Israel, you know, like, that's just everyday life over there.
Yeah, you just call. And it's like, what sounds like the 4th of July in the background? They're like, oh, yes, the fireworks. Go on.
But more and more people are going to the movies on Christmas now. You know, more and more people are adding that to their, like, even if they're, like, people who celebrate Christmas, it's just like, I'm so sick of my family.
Let's
just go sit in a dark room and not talk to each other.
Well, the other thing, too, is you spread it out over a couple days, with, especially if you're married. So, you know, you do one family on Christmas Eve and one side on Christmas. And that leaves you some of the day to actually do something besides eat food that you're not hungry for and see a bunch of people that you never see the rest of the year.
So, yeah, I mean, there's other movies coming out that day that are worth seeing. So,
I like how none of us are able to jump at the ready. What do we have?
I don't even know what they are.
A lot of people want to see that Angelina Jolie movie, speaking of her. Unbreakable? Or Unbroken, whatever.
One's Unbreakable?
It's an uplifting story about...
God, is every damn movie of hers about, like, adopting kids from, like, South Africa?
She's a dark lady, dude. I think she's clinically insane.
It's a guy who went from being a POW... in Japan.
Oh, God. He died like 6 months ago or something like that. I actually remember hearing about that on NPR. See, I'm trying to sound smart here.
NPR.
Yeah. There's a good... I think Amy Adams has a new movie coming out where she plays a... it's a weird story. She plays a an artist who is conspiring with her husband to pull a fast one on the entire art community.
That sounds so much better. Like, the Angelina one might as well be called Unwatchable. For God's sake. I mean, Jesus Christ, everything she puts out that she's directed.
Yeah, I don't think Angelina Jolie has any business doing a POW movie.
Well,
that's ignorant. Like,
her
last
flick she crapped out, wasn't she like the wife of, who was the Jewish dude who got his head chopped off? Like, he was the trendsetter. It was David something, I don't remember the hell. Mm-hmm. He got decapitated by the Taliban or someone.
Yeah.
Someone evil and over there.
Right.
And, yeah, she did, was it called Noble Heart or something like that, I think?
Something stupid like that.
Yeah, and the whole...
Something stupid like Unbreakable or something stupid
I mean, the thing with the movies she makes, they wouldn't be made if she didn't push them. So, I mean, that's the thing. Like, we just wouldn't... It's not like she's, these stories from some other director. She's really just promoting
her own. If networks still made movies of the week, that is what they would be fit for.
Yes.
Like, that's an interesting way to put it.
Absolutely. And I think that's part of the reason, and I've never thought of that before until you said that's part of the reason probably why, like, the movie industry, like, why they turn out just such shit these days and put it in the theaters, because they're not doing movies of the week anymore and they don't have a place for, like, those just, like, mediocre movies that wouldn't be in the theater otherwise.
We have to keep this episode clean, sir. Watch your mouth. It's okay. I'll go back and bleep it later.
Yeah. This episode's going to be on FCAC.
Oh, yeah. You'll be regionally not famous in a matter of hours.
Nice. I cannot wait.
Regionally ignored, just like
That's
me.
Awesome. It's better than being regionally hated, which I'm sure is the current state of it.
But it's just, look, it's easy.
At least by the female population.
Any 12 to 24 screen cinema can easily fill their screens with something besides The Interview. I think one of the more interesting stories out of the weekend was some of the movie theaters that were going to show The Interview, when that movie got pulled, said that they were going to show Team America, World Police.
Oh, yeah, as an FU. And then they squashed that really quickly.
Well, Paramount did, yeah.
Yeah.
And I guess that's one of the points I've had throughout this. I know a lot of Americans are pissed that the movie companies are not standing up to terrorism and threats of terrorism. But the reality is, like, these are not... I know that there are companies that buy the arts and then put them out into the theaters, but they're not defenders of free speech. Like, they're out to make a buck. And so the best way for them to make a buck on Christmas Day is to not have those movies out in the theaters.
Yeah.
They want people to go and feel safe.
Yep.
And so, like, you know, fighting terrorism, that's the American government's job. And the reality is, like, as excited as you would have been if they had been like, yeah, screw terrorism, they're showing Team America on Christmas Day, you wouldn't thank Paramount 2 months from now.
No.
And you're not going to remember the flip where they didn't show it. Are you going to start boycotting Paramount Pictures because they didn't do this? No, you're going to forget about it, and you're going to go back to your lives. And the reality is you're probably going to be able to watch the interview within 6 months somehow, some way. I mean, it's already like available bootleg, right? Isn't that the...
Well, so far what I've seen, and it's become, I guarantee you, this is nothing more than a viral guerrilla marketing strategy. So many posts were like, enjoy the last scene of the interview before this link gets taken down, man. Like, anyone is going to take it down. And it's just like an acoustic version of Firework by Katy Perry. It's like a missile hits a helicopter containing Kim Jong-un. Uh-huh. And you see his face, like, ignite. And that's the end of the flick. I'm like, oh, wow, so contraband. I can't believe I saw it. Yeah, Howard, you hit a lot of points on the head. And this is what I want to go with. We are just a bitchy baby population. We whatever happens, we just want to cry and like bash our fat little paws and kick our little baby calves in the air. And it's like, well, he wants his rattle. No, he wants milk. Oh, he wants nappy. No, he's just bitching.
Yeah. Well, it's like you said earlier, dude, before we started, you it's the people who bitch that get the coverage, as small as their little niche of the population may be. The people that piss and moan the loudest are the ones that get the coverage.
And that's all the news looks for. It's like, oh, well, who is feeling discontent because of what happened? No one. Don't get me wrong. I don't like censorship. Do I feel we should have gone ahead with it? Yeah, probably. But the thing is, let's do an imagination exercise, if you will. Sony goes ahead with the release of this film. You with me so far?
Yeah.
Somehow, by some bit of magic, there is like a crazy North Korean sleeper agent over here. And they do like a, Day of the Jackal type thing, or Manchurian Candidate. There we go. And they say the magic word, and he's just like, bah! And he comes awake and he grabs a sniper rifle and he unloads in a movie theater. Just, again, this is pure speculation. Magic. It's not going to happen.
You're doing the worst case scenario.
Absolute worst case scenario. Every person, and I mean every person, that bitched and bitched and bitched about censorship, every single one of them is going to go on their Facebook and go, man, Sony put lives, money above lives. They risked all of us. They were warned sufficiently, and look what they went and did anyhow. All for a buck, blah, blah, blah. Because we're just a bunch of bitchy babies.
Yep.
I guess here's the flip to me. And if you're going to go out there and be like, all right, people, show your support for America by watching this movie on Christmas Day. For me, it's like, it sounds like a bad movie. It sounds like something I don't really like.
That's the other part that I don't think anybody's talking about.
Oh, people, a couple people saw it and said it sucked. It's apparently horrible.
Yeah. Because to me, like, I think of controversial comedies, and immediately Life of Brian from Monty Python comes to mind, where back in the 70s.
That rape scene. No,
but back in the 70s was really controversial because you have a parody or a satire of the life of Jesus being done by Monty Python in the UK. And, you know, like, a lot of people were upset. Church of England was upset. You know, the crown is technically also the head of church, not just the head of state over there. Mm. So there was movie theaters throughout the UK that were just like, we're not showing this. And yet you had all the atheist and agnostic people who felt like they were finally having their voice heard in British society were like, we're going to organize a bus. We're going to go somewhere and watch this to support the fact that we're not members of the church. And we think like your whole system is kind of based on fiction.
This is like them going to see Do the Right Thing.
In a way, it's just like people supported that because it's something they felt strongly about.
Okay.
Whereas like saying that you're against Kim Jong-un, it's like, all right, like you had to make a movie about this. Like he's an easy target. So like, I understand you made this movie in part because he's an easy target, but we agree he's an easy target. Like, I don't have to go to a movie to support the idea that he sucks.
Yeah. And the one thing that could have sold it to me, like Lizzie Kaplan pulling out her tits, I'm pretty sure she's in this. Doesn't even matter. She pulls them out all the time. There isn't a damn thing Lizzie Kaplan doesn't have her jugs out for. That's why I love her. She's the best.
Fantastic.
I would have Jewish Christmas with her every damn year. Oh, God bless her. Yeah, and look, we also, again, the people who are bitching and blah, blah, blah. So many people in this country are like, we're all about making money and business is good and yada, yada, yada. No one really cares about free speech. Like, our whole line as a capitalist society, we're all like, just make that money, dude. Yeah. Like, and even moving beyond the public, the culture within corporate America, it's like, we didn't post gains all four quarters. Who's getting fired? Yeah. You know, like, It's just about making money. Yep. It's like if Sony stock took a hit, they would never look at the guys in charge and be like, well, it took a hit, but you really took that brave stand. So we're giving you that raise. Yeah. No. No. Yeah. No. Negative. And these guys are paid in stock options partially. So they have no interest, really. I mean, unless like Sam Adams is the guy running Sony, and I don't think so. Right.
It's just
Ben Franklin or some crap. Like, they don't care.
It's just, it's a slam dunk to like say that it's defending free speech to support a movie that is against Kim Jong-un. But what about a movie that, you know, has an unpopular position in the U.S.? Or just not even like an unpopular movie, but all right, there was this woman who got fired from her job a few months ago.
I hate her already.
But, you know, she,
horrible movie.
She was at Arlington National Cemetery. My dad is buried there, by the way. And I, like, being someone who has that, I was not offended by what she did because it was a private thing for her and her Facebook friends that went viral when she gave the middle finger to the sign that says, like, quiet, please, or whatever.
I thought she was, like, pretending to scream at it. Was the bird involved, too?
Yeah, she gave a finger, too.
Okay.
It was a joke meant for her and her Facebook friends. And then, like, all this hate appeared on the internet against her, and then it ended up costing her a job because it was a work trip to D.C.
Mm-hmm.
And so the company felt like, oh, what you did was bad for our company. We get to fire you. Everybody's on board with that because, like, Americans are pretty pissed at that. You know, I wouldn't advise her to do that and post it online.
No.
I'd be pissed if I were a friend or coworker. Be like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like, I don't think she should have lost her job for that. And it sucks because, you know, she was just doing something. And on the flip side of it, though, it's her employer's right to fire her, right?
Yeah.
I guess. I don't know the terms of her work contract.
It's just, we talk a lot about free speech in this country. And the reality is free speech just comes down to the government can't arrest you for it. Like, when it comes to private companies just trying to make money, man. I mean, what do you want?
And I guess that's what's sad, though.
Because, but it's all, well,
no, don't, I don't you feel like, on some level that we can, we don't have to do this segment again, but I wish private companies respected the whole freedom of speech thing. Like, okay, I'm as dumb as it gets with like actual law and politics and stuff. Why is it though, like, we're cool with something protected by the Constitution, free speech, being violated in some ways, if you will, by private companies or not upheld, but like freedom of religion, isn't that guaranteed as well? And it's like, if someone fired you for being Jewish, you would have a hell of a legal case. I mean, what's the...
Yeah,
That's a federal statute that protects people from discrimination.
Okay.
It's not the Constitution that says...
Okay, see, there's
private,
an answer.
But yeah.
Like I said, I am ignorant, and there's my answer. But
so governments... Yeah, it's most of the rights that are guaranteed by the Constitution have to do with protection from the government. The only exception being the 13th Amendment protects you from slavery. The only right that protects you from another private citizen is the 13th Amendment. So,
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Look at you, Mr. Law.
I was going to say, law student.
Yeah, I don't know if you guys had any thoughts on it, but it.
I feel like free speech these days is. I mean, free speech is. You can say whatever you want as long as you don't piss anybody off.
Well, yeah.
Which
yeah.
is that. I mean, and that's not free speech.
No,
to
yeah.
me. That's not. Because, I mean, what? Like, why? Why is it that people think that they get to go through life without ever being offended or ever having anything said around them or drawn or made or built or that may offend? It's like, what, yeah. you know what I mean?
That's
move about your business, man. Like, go do something else. You don't have to pay attention to it. You know what I mean? Like, I just...
That's why the interview is such a terrible test case, because it's one of those opinions that's, like, easy to have. Like,
yeah,
Kim Jong-un sucks.
Yeah.
Agreed. Like, we're all going to agree with that.
Yeah.
So people are not really defending free speech by saying, oh, this movie should be out there.
It's not. I don't even think it's I don't even think it's about free speech. I think it's about the fact that it's a political thing that those two stoners really don't need to get into. You know what I mean? Like, they don't really need to be poking the hornet's nest with that. You know what I mean? Like, we're already having a thing between our government and their government. Like, we've been kind of butting heads with them for years. Like, we don't need like these two idiots over in Hollywood like giggling and going, oh, he sucks. Like, let's all say that he sucks.
I'm just really disappointed Kim Jong-un did not commission a movie where it involved, like, the reverse plot, basically. Like, they send two North Korean journalists to the United States to kill Barack Obama or something like that. Like, they could have just had this horribly made, like, cheap, they have no idea what they're doing type of movie that they could have made. And it would have been the greatest parody of all time. They would have really won the war there.
Yeah.
Like, the cultural war would have just been in their favor. if they'd like gone ahead and hired me.
And people in America would buy that. I would buy a copy of that right now. If they said, you guys can show the interview, but we're going to make a crappy movie that's basically the same thing, just I'd be like, give me that one. I don't even want the interview. Give me the
other
one.
It would have to be scripted in broken English.
Oh, God,
just,
yeah.
Absolutely.
No subtitles, broken English. Absolutely.
I would want the two North Koreans in whiteface. That's the part that would really get me. Just tape on the eyelids, like, yeah, dude, in their weird accent.
Dennis Rodman plays Barack Obama.
Oh,
that'd
God.
Be ridiculous.
Oh, the worm. Yeah. Well, it's funny that you guys, especially Sean, just lobbed us into a very easy free speech debate.
Ah, yeah.
And how freedom of speech should be handled by adults.
Yeah.
I want to tell you the story of stories. This is as a radio guy. I guess on the cusp of radio guy. I don't know who I am. Not a paid radio guy. Let's put it that way. I want to talk about a story out of Chile. Chile. Is that how we say it? Chile?
I think that's how the natives say it. Yeah.
I used to just say it like the restaurant as a
Chile.
Kid. Yeah. I was like, Chili's minus the S. All right. So down in Chile, a DJ got his ass eaten by a woman who wanted to get tickets to Mystery Land, which is an EDM show, and it took me a second to figure that out. I believe it's electronic dance music.
I believe so, yeah.
Look at us, the hip the hip 30-somethings. So the story has gone viral as one getting their ass eaten wood on air in 2014. I held off on showing you guys the picture, but here it is. This is an actual photo that was briefly put up on the station's website.
Oh, Lord.
Was retweeted by the Mystery Land Festival. And here's a Chilean DJ getting his ass licked. There's whipped cream in his ass, by the way.
Okay. Ew.
And she is going to town, the woman giving him this gift.
Oh, good for her. Look at that.
Ew.
You know, I tell you, that's just good old-fashioned fun right there.
Yeah, you kids at home, we want to look that up. Just look up Chilean DJ ass eating. It'll come right up next
it's
to
the
a
first
sea-
thing on Google, I'm
yeah.
sure.
Then there's a sea bass recipe.
Oh, my God.
Now, I want to describe the photo. If you had an acting coach who was like, show me your face if your ass is getting rimmed, if you're having whipped cream licked out of your ass, that is exactly his expression. He kind of reminds me like a young Dominic West, the guy who played McNulty on The Wire. He looks like that with longer hair. And the chick eating ass, correct me if I'm wrong, looks like Slater from Dazed and Confused. Like if Slater took off his little beanie bit, yeah. or whatever the hell he wore.
You are ruining that movie.
You don't want to think about Slater eating Ben Affleck's ass. What was his name on that? O'Banion or some crap?
Yeah.
I don't remember. Something angry and Irish. That's why I loved it. It's like we hung out with Ricky Lowry, who was just...
Oh,
loud,
Lord.
Violent Irishman, and then it's like, oh, even in Dazed and Confused.
Oh, my gracious.
The guy breaking things and being loud is Irish. I loved it. So the story went viral, because why wouldn't it? I mean, you have to remember this. Opie and Anthony got canned from terrestrial radio back in, God, 02 at this point. Because they had a contest called Sex for Sam involving
yep.
Sam Adams' beer guy.
Yep.
Where they had folks who, of their own volition, not really
great
put up by Opie
contest.
And Anthony. Yeah.
Fantastic contest.
It was like where the places you can have sex in public and accrue certain points to win this contest. And like, you know, 50 points the winner, and they just said it as a joke, or at least they claimed to years later, was St. Pat's Cathedral.
Mm-hmm.
And
oh, wow.
Sure enough, like
yep.
a couple goes in there and one just like starts hammering the other. The boy
wow.
uses boy penis, because I know how sex works, and he had sex with the girl vagina. I don't even think it was on air. I could have been, it was, if I recall, it was a comedian was watching it and reporting what was going on.
Oh, wow.
But yeah. it was not either of them actually, like, you mm-hmm. know, having an O into the microphone. And that, like, the Catholics came out of the woodwork and got them off the air. This is 15 years later, or, you know, 10 years later, math major, 10 years later, when things have gone PC off the charts in this country, really ever since Janet Jackson.
Oh, God.
I mean, you can do nothing sexual on air. Howard, you said this fell under two different things, right? It was a...
Yeah, like, it came up recently with the Redskins and their trademark. Well, it was after the trademark suit. The FCC
God.
Then investigated the Redskins' name. And that was a bogus investigation, because all they ruled after they said that the name should be changed was that FCC doesn't have jurisdiction to get involved because it's neither excretory or sexually obscene. So those are the two criteria. I think this Chilean thing, though, kind of hits both heads.
Yeah, it's butt and sex.
Definitely sexually obscene. It's definitely sexually obscene.
But, you know, over a decade later, and you know what the radio station's reaction? Because I'll tell you what the reaction would be in this country. And it happened in Australia, if I recall, a couple years ago. Speaking of Opie and Anthony, they made a big to-do about this story, if you recall. When was it Kate Middleton was having the first kid, or was it the Queen Mum was in the hospital? I forgot. It was one of those two things. And she was down in Australia, and these two morning DJs, I think maybe they pretended to be the Queen Mum. They're like, "We're the Queen of England. Can we talk to Kate Middleton now?"
Yeah.
And some, you know, broad working the desk is like, "Yeah, sure, here you go," and put them through to the room, as I recall.
Yeah.
And the chick freaks out from embarrassment who put them through and like ends up killing herself.
Yeah.
Yep.
And they like fired the DJ immediately. The DJ team, they're like, "Oh, it's horrible. We can't believe that happened." Even though it's like just a dumb bit.
Yeah.
Like, it's not on them that some weirdo couldn't handle what she did and killed herself. Like, how the... That's like saying, kill
that
the...
That lady
know.
Had mental problems way before they ever made that
you wouldn't
that
feel...
Call.
You wouldn't feel it'd be difficult to continue on your show if you accidentally did that to someone that you called up. Like, you really think in that situation...
I mean, I'm like
wouldn't...
a sociopath, so no. I just... Right. I wouldn't care.
I mean, I think it'd be difficult, but I don't think that, like... that. I mean, that's like the... I mean... I don't think they should have been fired. I think they should have. It should have been left up to them whether they wanted to continue.
Yeah,
like, if you
exactly.
guys really want to continue, then that's fine. Like,
yeah.
I mean, we can't help that she's a lunatic, but maybe you've gone too far this time.
Give them a speech, and it's like, well, if you want to continue with blood on your hands, be my guest. And they'll look at each other and be like, yeah, I can live with that.
Yeah.
I mean, I would just switch to, like, all music. I'd be like, I'm done with
start playing
top.
Records.
Yeah, I just, I'm going to.
No,
like,
Janie's Got a Gun. Nothing got a No Love Gun by Kiss. No Big Gun by AC/DC. I can keep this. Howard, I'll go deep into your past. Back when you were a master of the taco and worked at Taco
right,
Bell.
Yeah.
Oh, were you?
Yeah, like,
yeah, I worked at Fair Lakes Taco Bell, man.
Nice.
Up until 4 months ago.
That was a good one. That was a good Taco Bell.
You're welcome.
Bell
no, that, the manager was the he was the best.
Let's say that you short a guy a taco accidentally.
Yeah.
And this guy's had the worst day on earth. And he's like, this close. And he just looks at his bag and he goes, you know what? Have had it. And he drives 20 feet out of the drive-thru and puts a gun against his head and blows his head off. Would you have quit Taco Bell had that happened?
I fail to see the analogy at all.
Something you did.
I mean, if it,
I see the analogy because, like I said, I think that lady who killed herself obviously had mental problems. That stupid bit was just the straw that broke the camel's back.
If I pulled a prank on a customer, which I never did, but you know, if I was just like, wait till he reaches in there and it's just a handful of guacamole, then yes, I would have felt bad.
Okay, yeah. Okay. We'll go with that as an
all
analogy.
Right. Yeah no, because I thought
about
that.
Would you have hung up the hat?
I see what he's saying because shorting a dude a taco is a mistake. They called that lady on purpose.
Okay.
But,
yeah.
All right,
but
guac bag. Guac bag
we'll
happens.
Guac bag. I would feel pretty bad. I would feel really bad. I think I'd think about it a lot.
Really?
I'd probably have to quit and like I'd spiral into depression.
Oh, yeah. This is where you and I are very different people. I would, like, my
I
boss would tell me that.
Yeah.
And I would be like, oh, that's too bad. And then I would just call you. And I'd be like, guess what some dumb bitch did? Because I guac bagged her. And I would just laugh. I would just laugh and laugh.
Okay, now guac bag, is that a term that you just came up with? Or is that like a universally used term by Taco Bell employees when they want to piss a customer off? Oh, okay.
If we had listeners, we could get the hashtag guac bag trending. But we don't. So
it's like Schrodinger's cat. We're coming up with new scientific concepts here.
Guac
so,
bag.
What I want to get to is... the station, a couple days later, goes with pretty much a non-apology apology. Instead of, like, we fired everyone and we feel so bad for those offended, which in this country, unequivocally, 100% would have happened. And I'm not talking even in big city stations anymore. This could have been, like, 104.1 The Bear down in Biloxi or some crap like that. It still would have been like, you guys have to go. And they said, we're sorry that we offended listeners and we agree it was a mistake to air a sex act. and we want to remind everyone that the decision was made by consenting adults. What a ballsy non-apology apology. You bitchy little babies.
I like it.
These were adults. I think what gets to me, in all truth, about any sort of censorship anymore, it made sense to me 20, 30 years ago when really offensive material you had to work to see. You needed like a fake ID or at least a theater that had crappy guards to see an R film. You needed like an older brother or a dad who didn't lock up his porn to see naked women. It just doesn't hold true at all anymore, though.
No.
Like, I can't, like, people are getting fired for more and more trivial things on the radio, and yet, like, your kid can just log into the computer you used, see that the site clicked two sites ago was Bang Bros, paid a visit, and see Christ knows what. I know exactly what, because I go to that site all the time still, but... Christ knows what, playing innocent for the show
here.
Yeah, things I've heard about. And it doesn't matter. The internet has changed every conceivable law of censorship, and the law itself has not changed at all to keep up with it.
It's on the parents to keep the kids away from it.
Exactly.
It ain't my fault.
That's all it's
ever been. I like porn on the internet. You are not going to take porn off the internet just because you don't feel like putting a security system on your computer that your stupid kid can't figure out.
I like how that got Sean so fired up.
I mean, you know what I'm saying?
I like tugging my dick to pictures.
I mean, goddamn.
The gals have sex on my screen and I like it. No, trust me, I feel the same way. Yeah, it's just a joke, though. It's like, really, the whole argument? I mean, even 20 years ago, when it was Stern getting in trouble, and it was like,
well, he played the piano with his penis.
Because who's listening to that? Like, who?
Exactly. It's like, my kid might turn the dial to that in the car. Like, it's so much easier to smack a kid's little gerbil hand away from a radio dial than guarding their iPad 24/7.
Right.
Than, like, watching the family community. That stuff is so much looser. And no one does. It shows you how much they really care. No one does a damn thing to control that. Net Nanny has sold 8 copies, maybe 13 tops. No one uses that program. No one installs any of that browser crap except for like porn addicts who want to cut down on their wanking. I put in Net Nanny last week. That's why I'm talking about it. It's that is what the reaction should be in this country. And it's so, we would love to crap all over Chile. You'll just be like, is that one of those hot brown countries down there? We got freedom in America. Screw them. But you know what? They're the free ones.
That's true. They're a lot looser about that sort of stuff, I think, than we would be,
They have their heads on straight. Sure, if I badmouth whatever dictator runs the place, I don't know who it is. I'm just picturing someone like Noriega, like someone with like epaulets and a lot of generalissimo, you know, badges across his front. They might have a democratically elected president. I don't know. What is this, geography? I don't care. But you know what? They win this day because a DJ had his ass licked on air.
Yep. And the they basically said,
Yeah, the guy's got a job. A girl has her tickets.
Yep.
Hopefully a complimentary toothbrush.
I was going to say. And somebody got their butthole licked, which is just fantastic.
And it's just the best picture there is. Just the chick has a mouthful of whipped cream. She looks like a dude, but... wouldn't you want your ass eaten on air? I don't even like that act.
No.
But just to do it, sure.
Sure, I mean.
Yeah, he really.
It was some tickets to a good show. I mean, sure.
He looks like Louis Armstrong about to really play, man. He's got the cursed lips.
You know we're not allowed to do that, by the way. Like, you shouldn't get any ideas just because we're talking about this now.
What? How do you think Sean got on this episode? I've been sitting on that.
Dude, week 17 Redskins tickets? Really? That's what you did this for?
Right?
Those are like $3, man.
R3's starting, dude.
I would eat ass to escape having to go to that game. And I mean like offensive line ass after practice. Be like, oh, Trent Williams.
Oh, man.
I always liked you as a draft pick. And that's how you sound when talking in an ass.
Oh, my gosh.
I think we've actually run out of prep topics. I was going to do a tear about our first grade teacher, Miss Hamilton. I'm sorry, not Mrs.
No,
Hamilton.
No, Hamilton was your kindergarten
Mrs.
teacher.
Mrs. Hamilton was my kindergarten teacher and was like one of the first black people I ever met.
Yeah.
And that's how my mom raised me, right? Because I apparently as a kid, I was just like, Mom, are black people different? And like there's apparently like a choose your own adventure choice tree in her head, kind of like the Terminator when the guy's like, it smells like a dead cat up there. And it's like, you know, sorry, and then F you, asshole, as the option tree. Like, hers was just yes, no. And she went, no, they're not. She chose that path. And I apparently, as a kid, was just like, okay. And I was
there
fine.
You go.
Mrs. Hamilton. But in retrospect, Mrs. Hamilton was kind of playable, too. Like, we just had sexy
She was. We had a lot of good-looking teachers running around at school.
Yeah, but first grade, I wanted to bring this up because it dovetails into a horrible and embarrassing tale about just how early my sex addiction kicked in.
Oh, fantastic.
As a kid.
I can't wait to hear this.
I want you to talk about how much of a kid boner we used to get for our first grade teacher, Mrs. Comer.
All right. Well, Mrs. Comer used to wear big, high brown boots all the time, and she was blonde haired.
Heels.
And she drove a red Corvette, and she was fine.
She was like something out of a Billy Joel lyric.
She was
the uptown girl, man.
She was fine. No doubt about it. And I saw her probably like 10 years ago, and she was still good looking. I mean, she's probably got to be.
She was probably, 25 or 30? How old was she when we were kids?
I honestly don't know, but I mean, if I had to guess, I would say that she was late 20s, early 30s, maybe, when she was our teacher.
And I know, if you want to know how hot she was, she had an old-ass stockbroker husband.
She did. She had somebody that was quite a bit older than her that paid for that Corvette, because she had a brand new Corvette, a brand new red one. It had tan leather interior. I remember it like it was freaking yesterday.
So that's how hot Mrs. Comer, I mean, she came in dolled up
every day. And yes, she did. Blonde curly hair, looked like she was getting ready to do the news.
Yeah. She looked like a Texas newswoman.
Yep.
That she was so sad. Like,
yep.
I did not realize that like there were women you could feel for other than blondes up until like age 16. Because of Mrs. like I
that you know that could wow. be thinking about it. That could because I'm mostly blonde too. I like blondes, and that could be why.
I've only rediscovered them recently. Like I remember
that could
it
be
was
why.
Like up until high school, every girl I liked, I was like a serial killer. Except it was just crushes instead of murdering them and you know hiding their corpse.
Right.
But it was just blonde after blonde after. I was just chasing Miss Comer.
Dude, I still, to this day, a 6 foot tall blonde headed girl walks by and I will stop whatever I am doing. Like it's
teach
it's still,
me.
Yep. It's still and that, you're right. That could be cousin Miss Comer.
It's just weird how you think about women at that age. Because I remember it. I obviously went to a different elementary school, but I remember I was like 6 years old the first time I saw the movie Mannequin.
Yeah.
And I just like look back in my head. I remember being a little kid being like, you know, I don't know what sex is, but I definitely want to have it with Kim Cattrall.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like there's that weirdness of like, wow, awesome.
Do you remember Miss Silverberg?
No. Was she like some hot Jewish ass?
No. Well, I mean, I don't know. She might have been married to a Jewish. I don't know if she was
okay.
married. I don't know if she was Jewish, but she was my third grade teacher, I think.
Okay.
Third or fourth, maybe. Because, no, Miss Compton was my third grade teacher.
Okay.
She was like my fourth grade teacher, and she was fine too. And then I can't even really say names on here. We had a student counselor that was rumored to have been doing things with one of the fifth grade teachers, I think. And that lady was kind of fine too. We had a bunch of them running around there.
Brookfield had sexy teachers in the day.
We did. It was good times. That's probably why all those boys that went there just like pretty women.
Yeah. Oh, but like here was the embarrassing thing that happened with Mrs. Comer. And this is great because you remember my dad from when we were kids.
Oh, I do.
So my dad used to just leave out porn more or less, or he just hide it under the couch. And I would look at it like a lot. And it would send conflicting messages because I would look at it and then my parents would walk in because I didn't know anything was wrong. Like I just saw pictures and I'm like, oh, naked women. This is awesome.
Yeah.
Like, even then, like you were saying you didn't know what sex was back then. I didn't either. Like, I thought you hugged someone with love in your heart and that made a baby inside them.
Yeah.
And I'm not even saying that as a joke. Like, I thought that's how sex worked. It's like, oh, we get married and we love each other and now I can hug you and the baby happens.
Yeah.
It's funny how dumb you are as a kid. It's
really funny. God.
So I just like, I looked at these and I'm like, I would hug all of these women, you know, like even then,
I would hug you so good.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I was like, I have love in my heart for all of these women.
Hold still, girl. I'm going to hug you so good.
It's so great because I was going to say like, I didn't know the difference between love and wanting to hump. And you know what? No one ever does.
Nope.
It never goes away. You never sorted it out.
It's like that Akon song. I wanna hug you.
So I started looking at these nude pictures, and my parents would walk in, and my dad would just laugh, probably just happy, like I was straight by age five. Yeah, and then my mom would just like screech at me, sending, you know, the terrible mixed messages that one needs through life.
Well, of course,
every time you get a hard on, you hear a man laughing and a woman crying. So, like the Greek tragedy mess, but in my head. So, all of a sudden, like when I wasn't looking at these magazines, I just would picture Mrs. Comer starring in all of the roles. Like it'd be a threesome with two Mrs. Comers, like doubling up on just guys in the photos. And it,
like she's the hottest woman I've seen so far. May as well be two of her in this fantasy.
Yeah. Oh, you could pave her over every porn starlet because she was just that much hotter.
Yeah.
But it got out of control. And like I started having obsessive thoughts about it. And like I had to like talk to my parents. I'm like, I can't stop thinking about Mrs. Comer in the naked magazines, as we called them.
This is a conversation you have with your parents when you're like, how old? Five, six, seven?
Five going into six. This was first grade.
Wow. No. That would have been six into seven.
Okay.
Yeah. We were in kindergarten at six.
All right. Okay.
So 6 into 7. Yeah. But that's still pretty young.
Because I didn't meet you till we were in fifth grade.
Yeah.
And I remember like walking away from that. I was like, I want to be this dude's friend. But how did he get so messed up? Yeah. That was just a question I didn't have answered till today.
I started having, fantastic.
See what happened? You come in here and we start talking about first grade and hot teachers and we solve problems.
No, I mean,
we answer questions.
I realized early on I had compulsive thought disorders because I mean, it would, like, for example, on
Friday.
Dude,
I'm like that now.
Yeah. But I mean,
except for I bartend, so I can actually go do it. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, it's.
But I would just be like, Mrs. Comer naked. Going to watch Tailspin after school today. It's pizza day. Mrs. Comer naked.
Gosh.
And like, I just thought it was this horrible thought. So I tell my parents this. Rather than just keep it to themselves like sane people, my mom thought it'd be good to talk to Mrs. Comer about it. And my dad.
Okay, at least she knows, because I'd be embarrassed if this were the way that like she might get word through the grapevine. Like, well, there was this episode of a show on public access.
And my dad, because he was
that would be hilarious. Like if we all got a Facebook message from her.
Oh,
like,
that's all I
really,
want. That's
like,
all
really?
I want.
Oh, dude, that'd be. Oh, yeah, I'd like to see what she looks like now, to be honest with you.
God.
Anyways.
Oh, man. Yeah, so. My dad, being the filthy foreigner he was, would just like defer to my mom in like all these instances because he probably heard this and was like, what are you talking about, you silly bitch? But he was like, I guess that's what they do in America. So you do the American thing with my American kid. And so with my mom, I have to like tell Mrs. Comer that like I stare at porn. And then I think of her obsessively in this porn. And Mrs. Comer.
I was friends with you back then. How did no one tell me about this?
I hit all the porn from everyone.
We hung out back then.
Because I knew it was weird and my secret even back then. So like, I did normal things with my classmates and
I'm
then came back.
Sure
I learned early. I learned early on to be embarrassed of my sexuality. Yeah,
exactly.
I'm pretty confident today if like a teacher found out, they would seriously consider calling child services.
Oh, yeah. That would never go out. That would never go by today.
Yeah, they wouldn't be. Just hide the porn.
And see, that's the thing. Apparently, Miss Comer was cool about it because.
Well, she had to just be like, no, you're normal. She
knows she's hot. She was probably
that's
like,
fair.
She was probably like, you know what? That's really sweet.
Yeah, and she did send my parents out and show a nip. No, I'm kidding. Keep
you
on dreaming.
Bastard.
Shoot for the stars, Papa Giorgio.
Her probably instant reaction was like, get in line with the rest of these jerks.
Exactly. Yeah. She had to just be like, wow, they're pigs younger and younger.
I was
going to
say, her answer was probably like, yeah, that's why I don't teach high school.
Exactly.
Because instead of you two and him in here, it'd be just him in here going, hey, Miss Comer.
I need help with the math homework again.
God. Yeah, so that I just wanted someone to confirm that Mrs. Comer was a piece of
absolutely
ass.
She was. She probably still is.
Wow.
She probably still is.
I would like to point out that we've talked about your crushes in the past before.
Yeah.
And it as creepy as what we just discussed is in the present tense, it's still creepy what we just talked about. It's strange that it's less creepy to talk about when you were a little kid having a crush on an adult versus when you talk about the first time you saw boobies.
Yeah.
You were 15.
Oh, at Pantera concert. Yeah,
yeah.
In real life, yeah.
But
oh,
you saw another 15-year-old's boobies.
If I recall, it was like the slutty girl from our school, Stormy
Oh.
Why would you call her slutty? That's not even right, man.
Well, no, because when we were like 10, everyone knew she was kind of like advanced sexually, and then she would be like, my goal is to...
What does that mean? She just hit puberty early. That's not fair to her in the least, man.
Let's be honest. There was another one that went to school with us that was equally as slutty, and I'm not gonna say it. Can I write it down? Do you have something to write it down? I'll write it down and pass it to you, and you'll laugh.
You can just tell it to me, and I'll type it. That'll work the same way.
You can text.
No, it's fine. Don't worry about it.
No, it's... But yeah, she... Yeah.
No need to name names. I'm just saying, like, I'm pointing out, like, when you get on air and you talk about the first time you saw boobs.
Yeah.
It's a little weird because you're a grown man in his mid-30s talking about a 15-year-old's breast.
Yeah, but I was 15 at the time, so stop making it creepy.
Still, like, you're getting on the border of, like, he's still talking about it a little too proactively.
No, you just asked about the memory, and I remember it. I don't even know if it was her. It just looked like her.
It's okay for you to talk about it in terms of, like, I remember how cool it was the first time I saw boobs for the sake of seeing
great.
Boobs.
It was life-changing.
But when you start talking about, and these are what the boobs liked, and these are why I liked, it's like, yo, you just described a 15-year-old girl's breasts. You need to stop.
As if to be, you're still, as if to say he's still turned on by them.
Yeah, no.
As opposed to talking about how he was turned on by them.
Yeah.
As a 15-year-old, were allowed at that time, but for you to continue to talk about it in a way that you enjoy it,
maybe there's a little too much
present tense. That's the line that you can't cross.
Well, you just asked me about a great day in my life.
Maybe there's a little too much present tense in that story.
Yeah,
you're allowed to describe it from the perspective of the 15-year-old, but once it starts getting into that, like, I'm a 33-year-old who'd like to go back in time and see it again.
Yeah.
That's when it gets weird.
No, I honestly, as much as I love embarrassing myself on this show, I can't say I've like revisited that moment
in a long time.
Well, by the time I hit 18, I had like nonstop computer porn.
Yeah,
so like I didn't have
true.
To remember things anymore. I just had to type them in.
That was when Bob Dolan invented the internet, wasn't it? Right around then.
I guess we can punch out on this one. Well, no. Right after my good name has been besmirched. But yeah, Stormy. Getting back to Stormy real fast. When we were little kids, we would always, for a laugh, go, Stormy, what's your goal in life? And without fail, she'd go, I want to be in Playboy. And that's how she was the wild child.
Okay. Yeah, that's pretty cool.
10-year-old to say that is pretty weird.
And I think she ended up doing something.
Did
she? Where she was getting paid to be naked. Yeah, I think so.
Wow. I friended her recently to see if it was like still together. I'm not saying it like fell apart, but she's like a mom with kids now, so it's like kind of hard to be like,
oh, well, then maybe she doesn't. I don't know. Or maybe she did. I don't know. I
just
know.
Out of curiosity, I was like,
didn't she have a kid in high school?
I don't know that.
I thought like the whole rumor in high school was that
she had to go to the pregnant girl school.
No. She was in high school with us, but like she like went somewhere because didn't she go to elementary school with us?
She went to elementary with me, and you probably got introduced to her by middle school.
Yeah, but no, but we went to Brookfield.
Yeah, but I was at Greenbrier West, third grade on.
Oh, you were? Okay.
Yeah, and then Rocky Run for both of us, Chantilly for both of us.
Right. But I want to say, like, there was some sort of, like, rumor going around that, like, she had, like, in our senior year in high school, like, everybody was like, she's got, like, a 4-year-old kid. Like, she had a kid, like, when she was, like, a freshman. I don't know if that's true or not. But that's what everybody said.
Oh, God, the home kid rumor. I forgot
that. Dude, like, yeah.
What horrible people.
As in, like, people from Greenbrier told me that, like, she disappeared for, like, she was nowhere to be found.
Like a rich European. Like, she just disappeared for 3 months over a summer and then came back 20 pounds lighter.
Right. Well, like, I mean more like a school year. Like, she wasn't around freshman year.
Wow.
And then she came back and everybody was like, where'd you go? And she was just like, oh, like, I guess my family moved somewhere. And then she just went on about her high school career, I guess. But that was, like, the big rumor.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, this ended on such an ominous, sad note. Howard's just really dejected looking. Are you all right, buddy?
No, I'm fine. I'm fine.
Howard's like, they're naming names. I'm not going to participate in this.
Yeah, no.
Like... They're being slanderous.
I saw
Listen, we're just talking shop. It's okay. We don't know if any of this stuff is true or not. This is just what I heard.
I just saw her pop up years later on my feed.
Does she still look good?
Yeah, she looks fine.
Well, good for her.
She looks like, you know, mid-30s mom. I mean, what do
you
want?
Good for her. Well, I mean, she got all fat or whatever, you know? I mean,
no, she's still holding the plane together. The Memphis Belle has not crashed.
Well, that's good. That's good.
All right, I guess we can.
I mean, it's always good to see when they don't get fat or ugly.
Yeah, that is a good thing.
All right. See, and that countered everything bad we said. Like,
yeah. See, I mean, if she still looks good, if she's got a nice, pretty family, she's
Merry
happy, that's
Christmas.
Cool.
Yeah, that was the Christmas show. All that special Yuletide joy.
There was a lot of joy in that show. I had fun. I appreciate y'all letting me come hang out with you,
Sean. Well, thanks for coming out. If you're in town again, hop on.
Hell yeah! I'm actually going to come up for my mom's birthday at the end of January.
All right.
So I might give you guys a shout and do it again, or at least go get a beer or something like that.
All right, don't be a stranger. I'm John Papagiorgio, joined today by Howard Flood, in addition to Sean. You want us on Twitter?
It's been good.
I'm at Papa's Basement. I don't know these guys if we want to.
I'm not on the Twitter. I'm on the Instagram. It's they call me the Turner.
There you go, the Turner. Howard, you're
still,
not.
Still trying to fix that Twitter account, yeah.
All right, InPapa'sBasement.com is the show site. Go there for every episode we've ever done. You can also look us up using the podcast app on any iDevice or Stitcher on both iTunes and a Droid. Papa's Basement, PAPA's Basement. Papa's Football Podcast is the football show we do. And last but not least, you can find The Spookies, a comic that I'm responsible for, along with the friend that draws it and does all the hard work. That is at thespookiescomic.com. I think we've done plugging everything. So, Merry Christmas. The Hanukkah thing's wrapping up soon, too. So, happy Hanukkah to everyone. Do we have a Jewish listener other than your girlfriend?
We do. I'm pretty sure we do.
Nice.
I'm sure there's one out there. There's got to be one out there.
So I don't have to mention her by name because I'm acting like we have plural Jewish fans. All righty. Till the next one. We're out of here.
We're home free. School's out, baby.
Good show.
Nothing to talk about. Nothing to critique. Great show. Great guest tomorrow. You go home, have a glass of wine, whack off. I'll see you tomorrow.
That's the post-show critique?
Yeah. You're the best.
It's my time to go. I successfully burned all my bridges. Nobody loves me, and I don't love nobody.
Then he said penis.
Yeah. Then he said masturbation.
Then he said vagina. That was cool.
Had a mighty hard time, but I'm on my way. Had a mighty hard time, but I'm on my way. It's a mighty hard climb, but I'm on my way.